about how China came to be the way that it is today, starting in 1839 with the First Opium War, moving forward to the present day. I am your host, Nathan Bennett. I lived in China for 7 years, and for me, this podcast is kind of a love letter and farewell letter to that country. Beginning announcements, support for free, rate and review on all platforms, share with your friends. If you'd like to support with money, go to buymeacoffee.com/crpodcast. C for Chinese, R for revolutions. buymeacoffee.com/crpodcast. If you'd like to have more of these episodes more often, please contribute to the program. Okay, there we go. ChineseRevolutions@gmail.com if you'd like to drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you. It's been a while. It's been quite a while. It's been many months since I was last with you. I need to get this thing going again. For the past, the last bit of episodes, we were going through Autumn in the Heavenly Kingdom, China, the West, and the Epic Story of the Taiping Civil War by Stephen R. Platt. It was an interesting trek, but we got a little away from our main thesis. New listeners may have come along, old listeners are still here, so I want to give new listeners a clean place to jump off from so they can get a sense of where all this is going. I want to give old listeners a recap of the key themes of our podcast. I wrote here that I want to reintroduce the core books in informing this podcast, to look at some of the ones that have become important as I've continued my research. Well, that'll have to wait for another episode. Anyway, all that stuff was written before I was driving home from work today and thinking of a lot of China stuff. Life has been crazy, but hopefully things are a bit more settled now, so I can come back to this. I'll need to tweak episode length and what episodes come out so that I can keep feeding you stuff, but keep it at a level of effort that I can manage. I need to do something better for the whole China in the world phenomenon than trying to re-educate my grandparents against the flood of nonsense that comes from Fox News or the program 60 Minutes. The news has really pissed me off lately. Like, they're putting China up as the most major threat to the United States and the world today, but they're wrong about what kind it might be. I have no love for the Communist Party, but my own country believes somehow or other that its own supremacy is good for the world, as though believing in a religious faith, but without a deity to back that up. So we need to look at China and see what they've gone through so that we understand where they're coming from. You have to understand China in its own terms if you want to oppose it in any sort of virtuous, good, right sort of way. You know, a nation is not your enemy that you can just kill it. When you defeat a nation, it goes on living, and it remembers what came before. Maybe not in a way true to what happened, maybe not in a way understanding of your intentions and motivations, but if you stand over a defeated nation as though you're going to pick its pockets clean and all that, you are basically asking for very, very long-term hostility. Even if the citizens of the People's Republic of China are held in a limited information environment, and if they're manipulated by state media propaganda, we outside of China do not have to be in the same position. We can do better. We can use the information that we have to understand. All that was written a few months ago. As you can see, this episode has been a while in the making. I read a couple of books about the Boxer Rebellion, and that's the next big thing we'll get to. I'm mostly going by intuition here. It seems that the Boxer Rebellion is the next revolutionary inflection point that will advance the narrative of our podcast. The Boxer Rebellion brings together the China's domestic troubles and the foreign imposition in the concession areas and in the diplomatic legations in Beijing, and it really is going to bring out a lot of themes that are going to come out as we dive into where modern China comes from. We're going to take an exquisite look at the Boxer Rebellion to give us a look at what China is going to understand about just how much power the foreign powers have. For example, when the foreign powers went into China to intervene in the Boxer Rebellion, the Chinese knew that the British were getting hung up in the Boer War in South Africa. We're going to have to understand the lived experience of revolutionaries we will go into much more detail about after we finish with the Boxer Rebellion. And you know, so like Sun Yat-sen, he's a Chinese revolutionary, kind of like the Chinese George Washington he's been compared to. He's going to be an adult, alive during all this, understanding it as an adult. You know, anyone 30 for this will be 40 when the Qing dynasty is overthrown. Anyone 40 will be 50. A colonel will be a general. A junior functionary will be a senior functionary, just getting started at the senior level. One of the things is, like, say, a 20-year-old guy, say, as a boxer, he's going to be 70 in 1950 when the communists establish control of China. So the Boxer Rebellion is going to be living memory for a lot of the later revolutions. Somebody who's a child at the time will remember. They'll remember the time. Before we go into it, we'll go over some of China's attempts to reform and some of the reforms that it achieves. For example, hospitals and schools built by missionaries, modern infrastructure and modern people in China, military modernizations. China isn't just a dusty peasant scene from a kung fu movie. There are Chinese ladies up to date with the latest foreign fashion. Some other random thoughts. We'll have episodes about China's adaptation to the permanent presence of foreigners and modernization. There'll be the 100 Days attempt to reform. This is toward the end of the Qing dynasty. The key thing is China's priority is to regain national sovereignty and to determine its own destiny. Foreign attempts to influence China, that's all very well, but you'll eventually have to reckon with a self-confident culture that gets around to asserting itself in one way or another. Even the most subservient little brother culture is its own thing, and whatever influence falls upon it will take its own shape in that culture. In the Boxer Rebellion, popular initiative and top-level prioritization of sovereignty brings together some of the stuff we'll have to deal with in later revolutions, driving out foreign influence not in line with Chinese customs or interests. We'll have to see the restoration of Chinese control of China. It's one thing to be exploited by your own kind, it's another to have the hard hand of foreigners over you. Again, I'm trying to deal with this in enough detail for you to understand the general idea of what's going on without you needing a map or to learn too much about China. I lived there for 7 years. I traveled all over the country, so there are things I can kind of picture. Not everyone who needs to understand China more can take the time to mentally place everything that we're going to be talking about. Like a lot of the action in the Boxer Rebellion, it's going to happen in Tianjin and Beijing, two cities I've been to, and that's not a big area of China. But everything that happens there is going to be really important for everything that happens after. So you just need to understand some of the basic dynamics, so you can understand how big it is, what happened, and the shape of what happened. but you need to be able to understand it in a way where you don't have to totally redo your education. Like, I'm trying to make this accessible. Okay, I think you get the point. When we get past the Boxer Rebellion, we're going to be plunging directly into the primordial ooze of what's going to give birth to our contemporary modern China. The nationalist movement, the Communist Party, the warlord era, when the Qing Dynasty is taken out with the garbage, what's left is a country that's going to be trying to redefine itself. The borrowing of foreign political philosophies, the importation of foreign political structures, the full adoption of foreign military technology and its adaptation to the Chinese context for Chinese goals. So here we go. Let's get going. If you'd like to support the podcast, go to buymeacoffee.com/crpodcast. If you'd like to send me an email, please email me at ChineseRevolutions@gmail.com. Thanks for coming along, and look for more episodes in coming weeks.